section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
What is Sting's big announcement? TNA invades New York, and we discuss Battleground. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Zack Ryder's push has affected the locker room. In what way, Aaron?
So this was something that Kurt Hawkins had reported a couple weeks ago. And basically what he said was Zack Ryder had almost no airtime. He was somebody who really, in all truthfulness, should not have ever been over. I mean, you know, let's just be honest. He really should never have been. But he was able to take that brass ring, to really go for the brass ring and get himself over using his own methods. And when he was able to do that, the locker room was just really behind him. They thought this was fantastic that you get a jobber who was able to win the U.S. title. And then WWE management halted it. They really stopped his push, and everybody that was a broski and, you know, wanted to be on his show and everything, they stopped that. And what Kurt Hawkins said is that it really, really demoralized the rest of the locker room, that it stopped it. It broke their spirits, so to speak. And I can really see that. I can totally understand that. And I think that he has a point for that, because if you were able to get yourself over and then management stopped it, what's that say about management? That's saying that, you know what, doesn't matter. You don't need to work hard. We're going to choose who we're going to put over.
Well, that's the thing. They have chosen each wrestler who's going to get put over. And that's the sad part, because Zack Ryder did something that, like you said, no one's done. I mean, if you want to argue the Brooklyn Brawler maybe did, but I don't think he's ever held the title, but he's been around. He's the only one that comes to mind because he actually had his own entrance music as a jobber.
Well, okay, so you're saying the entrance music. No, but I mean, like, when you think about it, though, you know, how many people really have gotten over on their own, you know, like with WWE not giving them an ability to? And there's only a couple that I can think of off the top of my head. And Daniel Bryan really got over with the crowd. You know, he was somebody that, even though they put him in stupid skits and everything, he was still able to get over. And when he beat John Cena, people saw him as being a main eventer. And I think about CM Punk and the promo that he cut. You know, when he did his pipe bomb, you know, it stopped everything. I mean, you know, everybody was talking about it. And he made the break from being mid-card to upper mid-card to being a true solid main eventer after that promo. And actually, speaking of which, Andy, CM Punk, you know that he got added to the alumni section on Tuesday?
I was surprised about that. But I'm wondering if they just kind of like shook hands and said, you know, over the phone and said, listen, if you're not going to wrestle anymore and the only place you're going to wrestle is with us, you know, we want you to go out with a bang. So they did the special. I truthfully believe that they came to some sort of agreement a long time ago, because I think when CM Punk quit, and he decided to call himself Phil Brooks on the Talking Dead. Mm-hmm. I believe that he wasn't getting over. They're like, who's Phil Brooks? Oh, he was a professional wrestler. Well, I don't remember a Phil Brooks. And then he went back to CM Punk, which I find interesting. But I'm wondering if maybe at some point around WrestleMania time that they kind of, or maybe the last time they were in Chicago, that somehow they had a secret meeting and they said, listen, you know, We want to do something special for you since you're going to call it quits. And I think
I don't know. I don't think that happened. It's business, dude. It's business. And I'm sure that what happened was they just said, look, you know what? He's doing his own thing. He is not going to be involved with wrestling. He's obviously not going to go to TNA, probably not going to go to Ring of Honor. And, you know, he said that he's done. And so they're not worried about him. And they feel, and in all honesty, I bet that they feel that he will get that itch and he will come back and he's going to go back to WWE. He's not going to go back to anywhere else. You know, I mean, Ring of Honor potentially, but WWE is where he would go. So I think they added him there because it was like, hey, you know, it's time that we let people know he's no longer our employee.
And his wife is now the woman, the Divas champion too, which I find intriguing. But you know, I mean, maybe that's trying to get him to come back. I'm believing that's the real reason why she has the title.
And that, or there's really what, three women that could hold that title and be believable
right now. I mean, there's some that there's a couple out there that I know they haven't signed, but there's some girls down
that they haven't signed. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just said it, that they haven't signed.
Well, also, but you got to think Charlotte and Sasha Banks, they can wrestle.
Yeah, but they're NXT.
They are NXT girls, and they did make their debut at Madison Square Garden. But, you know, they have some available, and Paige right now is the front runner. But, you know, oh, well. But the one thing that I was surprised about, not really, but Sting had a big announcement, and he is going to be a playable character on WWE 2K15. Now, I was kind of shocked that they spent, first of all, $200,000 on that 30 seconds. But was that really Sting?
Yeah, that was Sting.
The real Sting, Steve Borden.
Yeah, that, I mean, if it wasn't, then I would be very surprised that it looked identical to him. I don't think that they spent $200,000. I know that was kind of the rumor. That was the rumor that... where did that money go? I mean, you know, you pay actors so much money. If that was $200,000, I would be shocked and appalled by that, to be honest. But anyway, let's talk about that, though. His big announcement, he's going to be in WWE 2K15. He then had a few interviews. He talked about it. He said, oh, it's really great. You can play as me, or, you know, like the Dark or the Surfer gimmick. But then, of course, they talked about him wrestling in WWE. And he said, if I did, I would want to wrestle Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Wow. That says something. But I don't think Undertaker is going to wrestle ever again, because you'd have to have Sting go over. And I think that would hurt the Undertaker, you know, if he actually would have to put him over. But
don't think it would hurt him. I agree with you. I think that Sting has to win, because you don't want your one match in a company to be a loss. Be like, you know what? I wrestled for WWE once and I lost. That's no good. And Sting probably would want to win anyway. He'd probably say, look, no, I have to win. So I think that Sting would win. But I think Undertaker would come back. I think that he has the potential to. The downside is, though, that both of them are not even the twilight. They're at like the midnight hour of their careers. You know, Sting really doesn't have any more matches left in him. And Undertaker, you know, his best matches are 3 years ago. So it's unfortunate, because we would want to see them wrestle from 20 years ago. And we're going to see him wrestle, you know, now, unfortunately.
Yeah, but is this going to make you want to get the game now?
No, actually, it doesn't. I'm not really excited about it, because I prefer AKI's game engine. Yuke's did a pretty good job for the GameCube games, but you know, when I've tried any of the other ones, they weren't very fun. You know, I did not like them. And unless 2K has really revamped the engine, then I might try it out. But honestly, I'm not super excited for it.
All right, hypothetically, let's say they do revamp it so it's more like No Mercy. Is this an Xbox One game?
Yeah, I would probably buy an Xbox One.
Only if it had, of course, the grapple and the strong grapple.
If it had that engine, then I would probably pick it up. I at that point in time, then I would be excited for it. And Sting wouldn't sell me the game, the engine would. And that's how I felt about wrestling games for years now.
Well, would you actually put Lana holding up an American flag in the background at some point?
Oh, like that picture I sent you?
Yeah. It's, you know, and speaking of Lana,
you know, you have to use that. You have to use that as an artwork for one of the weeks. I don't care what week, you have to use that, though.
The only problem is the picture, the image is so small that when I actually enlarge it, it's going to look like crap. But it is comical, though. You know, her holding the American flag. And that's interesting, because Rusev vs. Swagger, they actually, of course, had the segment where they're holding the Russian flag. And, of course, Swagger comes out with the American flag. And every time now when I see her, the only thing I'm going to picture her doing is holding up the American flag.
You could picture her doing, one of her sex scenes, too, you know?
What?
Yeah, she did a lot of films and stuff like that, and she has sex scenes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. You know, when you have somebody who is playing a character and she happens to be born in Florida and she's very American and she did dance and like all this other stuff. I mean, there's, you know, you're going to find information about her. It's kind of like the Claire character that AJ Styles was arguing with. You know, she was like, people found out that she was like a model or something and started harassing her.
She was in the Popeye show they had there.
Yeah, it's something stupid, but they start harassing her. And I think, you know, it's kind of like that. But anyway, Andy, Rusev and Lana, to be honest, and I would have been the first person to say this, I did not like them. I still don't know if I really like them, but I thought that what they were doing was actually really dumb because I thought it was kind of cheap heat what they were doing. But they have like nuclear level heat, I feel. Like the crowds hate them so much. And when Swagger came about and turned face, like, no joke, Swagger to me has raised himself to be an upper mid card without even really speaking. Like, honestly, he really hasn't spoke. But people are so behind Swagger because they want him to shut Rusev up. I got to ask you, Rusev and Swagger, first of all, are you excited for the feud?
I wasn't until one moment in the was it debutante? Is that what it was? Or what was their debate thing? Do you remember what it was called?
No, I don't remember.
Okay, well, anyways, so after it was all said and done, they start going at it, and then Rusev is about to kick him, which, of course, no one's been able to do anything. They just take the kick and they're down. Except Swagger catches him and puts him in an ankle lock. That changed my perspective about this whole feud, because I was like, well, Rusev is definitely going to win, but now there's a weakness. He can put him in the ankle lock, and of course he doesn't have boots on, so you could say that because he doesn't have boots and he just has his ankles wrapped, Swagger can get in there and tear up that cartilage in the ankle or the ligaments in the ankle a little bit easier than if he had a wrestling boot on. So, which Michael Cole will say because he listens to the show. But that actually made me say, wow, there's a chance Swagger may win. So overall, I was pretty happy with this feud. And by the way, the cheap heat with this, I think it needs to happen because it's an easy thing. You know, like, this is why I wish USA won the World Cup, because if they won it or if Russia won it, you could then use that against the United States, you know, saying, oh, we are so much, you know, superior in this and this and this, because they can't say hockey because they keep getting their butts kicked and Ovechkin is a puck hog.
But it sounds like that you actually really like this. And I got to say, I'm surprised because I kind of do too. And I did not think I would say that. But I think having Swagger in there, like Big E and Rusev, honestly, I did not care. It's two big guys, did not care at all. But Swagger being kind of the all-American country boy, you know, I think it works. And I think it works really well. And I think that WWE, the creative team for this, is doing a fantastic job.
And I believe that what's going to happen here is that Swagger will lose. But I believe that his next feud will be with Mark Henry.
Now, one of the things, though, that they are not doing a good job on, though, Andy, is Cesaro. So he keeps losing match after match after match. He's been losing to Kofi. He lost to Big E. He was without Paul Heyman this week. What do you see for Cesaro's future?
I wonder if he made someone mad in the back or if they're like, what are we going to do with Cesaro? I don't know. Well, let's just bury him, or let's have him win the 20-man battle royale for the IC title. That's the only thing I can think of. But realistically, you can only put someone down. I mean, they did it to Randy Orton for the longest time. Kept losing. Oh, by the way, here's the title for you. Come on.
I think when you do something like that, it doesn't make the title holder very believable. So, like losing to Kofi is one thing. Like, he loses the one match, but then he gets his win back. You know, lose to Big E, but get a win back, you know, and have a back and forth, which is totally fine. And then that way, if he wins the IC title, you know, Big E could say, well, hey, I beat you that one time. Let's have a match. You know, let's see if you can, you know, if I can beat you for the title. That's fine. But if you have him lose match after match after match, and then all of a sudden he wins, it's like, you know, who cares? I don't believe then that you're going to be able to defend that title, because you've just been losing match after match. You know, you're not on any sort of winning streak. You're not doing okay. Like, if Miz won the title, which honestly he probably should, you know, it'll probably help him out. But if Miz won it, then that would make sense, you know, because he came back, lost to Jericho, but then he beat Sheamus, you know, and so, all right, I'd be okay with that. But I don't know. I think Cesaro, I honestly think they're booking him so poorly right now, and he's one of their bright and shining stars. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Do you think it's a part of the Daniel Bryan effect?
Maybe.
Because people want to see wrestling. They don't. The entertainment's there. That's fine and great. But they want to see wrestling and see Daniel Bryan as a main eventer showed wrestling. So people dug, I think, Cesaro because of that. And now it's like, oh, there's Cesaro. Okay, where's Paul Heyman at? Why isn't he with him? Oh, but we'll talk about that later. But, okay, what is the deal with Ambrose now? They decided to beat the crap out of him. How come Cena and Roman didn't run to the back to save him?
Yeah, that was a little weird.
They just were like, oh, look, they're getting beat up in the backstage area. Oh, well, no big deal. Okay, why don't you run back there? Help the guy out.
I agree. That's what the first thing I thought was, why don't you guys leave the ring the moment that you see him getting beat up and run for him? And I understand it's a tape segment, you know, but you still could have ran there and then been like, oh, no, we just missed it. You know, like, I mean, nothing. But I got to ask you, Ambrose, I mean, we've watched his evolution over the past really year. Do you see him as being a main eventer?
Yes, without a doubt.
And why is that?
He can wrestle, and I think that his style and his look makes him seem like he's a, you know, like he's tough. And I think that some people are seeing that. They're like, wow, if the dude can brawl, he can wrestle, he makes it believable. You know, I'm starting to like this guy because of it. Even with the Shield, like, I'm sorry, I know everyone says Roman Reigns is the next guy and they're pushing him to be the next guy. I believe that Dean Ambrose should have been the next guy. I know I said at one point Seth Rollins should be, but then they kind of put Seth Rollins aside, and then all of a sudden, bam, here he is. Seth Rollins is huge. But Dean Ambrose, for something about him, watching him when he had a couple matches with Luke Harper that I saw, wow, just like those two guys together were great. I can't believe that they're not doing a program on WWE with them. And by the way, I'm sorry, but like the Wyatts and Usos feud, that is freaking awesome. Every time, this is awesome. That's what you hear during their matches. How often has, and this feud's been going on for what, like 10 weeks now? And people,
it's been going on a little too long. I mean, that's the only tag teams that they have, and they don't know what else to do.
But they're putting on great matches. And see, that's the thing. Like, you would think that Ambrose, who can put on great matches with, as they've shown pretty much anybody, he's a main eventer. If he's not a main eventer, he is an upper mid carder. And I believe that's where he should be. Either upper mid carder or a main eventer. And that's the only two spots. Anything under that, I think that they're doing a disservice to everyone.
I like Dean Ambrose, and I think that Seth Rollins, I think, has a good look to him, and he has good wrestling ability. His promo it's okay. But Ambrose has an amazing promo. And it's not that he has the CM Punk style promo, because it's not. It's very different. It's Jake the Snake. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is Jake the Snake. And you hear him talk and you want to hear what he's going to say. And his wrestling ability is, you know, it's good. It's good enough. It's, you know, it's not, I think Rollins is a much better wrestler, but Ambrose is good. You know, it's not bad. And he has an okay look. So he has the qualities to make a main eventer. The downside is, though, the type of main eventer that he's going to be is probably going to be closer to Daniel Bryan, where he could win the title one day and then that's it. He just held it once, and then, you know, he's going to go back to, you know, doing other feuds.
15 days later.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, Ambrose, I think, has the ability to be a great wrestler. And if WWE puts him in great storylines like they have been doing, then guess what? You're going to have another A-plus player. So, you know, like you did with Evolution, you had Triple H, you know, Randy Orton and Batista. You have Reigns, Rollins, and Ambrose, and you can make all three of them main eventers and have your next breed of a superstar right there.
But the thing with Rollins that still surprises me is that something happened on Raw with him. And this is surprising to me. He hurts his knee, in quotes. Except that they did it where it looked like he legitimately hurt himself. Do you think that it's smart for them to do this? Or are they just looking for a way to have him drop if he drops the top, or if he doesn't cash in the money in the bank for a while?
So I know what you're saying. You're referring to some of the reports that are saying that it was a kayfabe, you know, he was injured. And he actually wasn't, you know, that it was a worked injury. and that he, you know, he got pushed out the ring, and then he was like, "Oh, I'm hurt," and that he sold it so well that, you know, the everybody else thought that he was. I don't know, man. I really think that he actually did get hurt. I think though it wasn't that bad. I think that maybe he just didn't stretch before the match, and he just kind of pulled something, and now he's fine. Because obviously he was there on SmackDown, which was the following day. But here's what I think. It would be really weird for Ambrose to get attacked in the back and then not make a comeback at the very end, wouldn't it? Right. Because Ambrose was attacked. He went to the hospital, and they kept talking about how he was at the hospital. And it, typically in those segments, what happens is at the very end, he comes out and makes the save, you know, and that didn't happen. So Ambrose was kind of not there the rest of the night. It was a little weird. And so I think that Rollins was actually injured.
Well, here's why I don't believe he was injured. Let's go to the tape. If you notice that when he goes out of the ring and he's way down the entrance ramp, Little Nate comes over and looks and then puts up the X and pounds it twice and then goes back to the match. At what point did he say he was injured when he went outside to the ring right away? Because he jumped on the top rope, landed, and then went straight outside. When did
he got knocked outside, but
when did he tell Little Nate that, hey, there's a problem? Little Nate comes over and sees him by the ramp and then does the two X's. And he does it real quick.
What would be the point in doing that though? I mean, let's be honest here.
They cut away from the, I believe it was all, that's all work.
So casual wrestling fans are like, oh, and they didn't.
They're like, what's going on with him?
The other thing too is they didn't have the camera say, oh, he's injured. You know, like they do sometimes where they're like, oh, I think he might be hurt.
Well, the announcer said something about his knee. They're like, oh, he might have tweaked his knee there or something like that.
Yeah. And then they just talked about the match. And it ended in a disqualification because they were hurting, you know, Reigns or Cena. Yeah, really? That's how you're going to end the main event? No.
But this way, like you said,
I think they changed it on the fly.
Well, like you said, I think that they did this to make it so since Ambrose couldn't come out and attack Rollins, Rollins could be quote-unquote hurt so he can't cash in.
I don't know. I think that this was he was actually injured, but either way, it doesn't really matter.
I know, but I got something else, a big conspiracy theory to talk about later, but we'll talk about it in Battleground. So anyways, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. And make sure you don't use the Raw pre-show codes, because you want to use our codes, not theirs. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling this week. So Tommy Dreamer is back. So what's going on with him?
Yeah, so he came back last week, and this week him and Bully took on Rhino and EC3. And Andy, I gotta ask you.
Yeah.
EC3, what do you think about him?
I beat him.
is he not your favorite heel now?
I don't know what to think about him, because Derek Bateman was just there. He just came to TNA and cut his hair and became EC3.
Mm-hmm.
The Twitter thing from the other day made me laugh.
That's where Zack Ryder said Sting, and EC3 at replied him and said, yeah, I beat him.
Which as soon as you brought up EC3, I started chuckling, because that's the first thing I thought of. I beat him.
Well, honestly, like, his social media is amazing, because he really plays his character. And I think that's the thing about him that I really like. When they had this character for EC3, they already had this character in mind about how it's going to be a spoiled brat. It's going to be, you know, Dixie's nephew. And they just needed the right person for it. And they found, you know, Bateman to be that guy. And he plays it to a T. The one thing I remember about him in particular, he did replied himself and said, happy birthday, EC3. And he said, oh, thanks, EC3. You know, like, like, who does that? Who does that except for him? And it was hilarious. It really was. And so I really like him as a character, and I really like watching him get the crap kicked out of him. It's almost like Jericho in WCW. You know, like, I loved Jericho, and there were times I liked watching him lose, you know, like when he just, you know, deserved it, like Malenko and stuff like that. And I think EC3 is kind of that way. Like, Dreamer and Bully, watching them beat the crap out of them, loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Armbar, number two, armbar. So they had an X Division Gauntlet match that ends with, of course, Austin Aries. He retains.
Mm-hmm.
What's
Do you like Gauntlet matches?
No.
And why don't you like them?
I just never cared for them.
But why?
I guess the wrestling ability is what makes, I guess to me, makes it interesting, especially with the X Division. Gauntlet matches, I just don't care. I just care less.
The reason I don't like them personally is that there were like, what, 6, 7, 8 people. I mean, there were a ton of people. And it's like saying, sometimes I can't beat these people one-on-one. But if you put them in a row, I can totally beat them. And I absolutely hate that. I think that it's dumb. And I think that's a gauntlet match itself is really, really stupid. Like, if it was a tournament, that's fine, you know, because that way everyone's on equal playing ground. But, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like playing Mortal Kombat, you know, and they're like, oh, it's a tournament. And it's like, no, not really. I'm literally taking on every single person here. And before I face the boss, that's not a tournament. That's just me taking on everybody. And that's the way it feels. The thing about the reason why that this is important, though, is that Austin Aries won the X Division Championship last week. He retained it again. You know, he's going to cash it in then for the World Championship. So we're actually going to see Austin Aries go for the world title again. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a safe bet because Austin Aries is very entertaining, and he's believable that he could actually win because he has won it.
But is he believable against Lashley?
No. Which is the crappy part, because Bobby Lashley, you know, as much as I don't care for him as a champion, he was the safe bet. It's like when Daniel Bryan gets hurt, who do we put the title on? Well, John Cena, because it's a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what this is. The safe bet is to put on Bobby Lashley until MVP is healthy enough, or I don't know, someone comes in, maybe CM Punk, Colt
Cabana.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen. So, but it sounds like Bobby Lashley, speaking of which, let's just, you know, talk about it. He retained against Jeff Hardy in kind of a quick match, to be honest, for a world championship. I was kind of hoping it would be a little bit longer. I think it was like 10 minutes at most. And he retains, but he got a lot of heat for it from the New York crowd. Is Lashley becoming kind of, is he getting a lot of heat, do you think? Do you think that they have a good heel champion in Lashley?
Now, see, with Bobby Lashley, I believe that he's cheap heat because he doesn't talk. MVP does all the talking, then Kenny King throws in his 2 cents, and you may get Lashley to say 2 words, and then it goes back to MVP. So realistically, I believe MVP's the champion, and Bobby Lashley is the muscle.
Oh, so you think that Paul Heyman was the champion then?
Oh.
When Brock Lesnar held the title, because let's be honest here, when Brock Lesnar talks, let's do this. Like there wasn't a question mark there.
The scream that he had on that one Raw, yeah. Though, where he's like,
yeah, like that's the thing. Brock Lesnar looks like he, like looking at him, I would probably crap my pants. Like I would, but man, he cannot talk to save his life. Bobby Lashley, if anything else, you know, honestly, I can't think of any promo he's ever cut. And that's probably a good thing. Like, you don't need him to talk. Brock Lesnar does not need to talk. When Brock Lesnar doesn't talk, actually, it's even better. He seems more intimidating.
My name is Paul Heyman.
So, anyway, Andy, weekly topic. Let's talk about Battleground. I just want to go over a few matches real quick because I don't know about you, but it kind of feels like this is just a Raw leading towards SummerSlam.
Yep. I mean, I'm excited because it's, I guess when wrestling is on a Sunday now, to me, it seems like it's a pay-per-view. And that's why, and plus you pay $10 a month and you get these. So, and like today, I will say I watched WWE Network for probably 3 hours. Not kidding. About 3 hours today. because I actually watched Main Event live, and I watched the, it was, I can't remember what the lead-in was, but I watched the lead-in, and then I watched some of the CM Punk documentary. So okay. I did watch it quite a bit, and, you know, a lot of, I guess to me, I'm spoiled, and I think all of us are spoiled, and I think that's going to hurt pay-per-view business for wrestling in general.
Okay.
But anyways, is it just like a Raw? This, you could make an argument that it is, because it feels like it. There's not like, oh my gosh, I need to get this. But, you know, Rollins versus Ambrose is going to be a good match. And yeah. I believe that no matter what happens, they're going to put on a good show. I just hope that they do this one as like the second main event.
Well, let me ask you this. Does it feel like all the matches are almost predetermined? And I say that knowing that all the matches obviously are predetermined. Maybe that's not the word I should use. Does it feel like they're all predictable?
Well, yeah. I can pretty much predict, not the IC, who's going to win the IC belt, because that there's a couple of people that could do it. Zack Ryder not being one of them. I believe that the Wyatt family, I believe that they'll finally get the titles from the Usos.
Yeah, I agree
believe
with
that'll
that.
Happen. I believe that Bray Wyatt will win against Chris Jericho.
Agreed.
Yeah. You know, the Divas match, that's, you know, AJ Lee's going to win. I'm missing one, but realistically.
Well, what about Rollins and Ambrose? I mean, that's probably the one that might be most up in
that
there.
I believe Ambrose will win.
Because for you, you probably think Cena's going to win, correct?
I believe Cena will retain.
Yeah, and I agree.
But the thing is, and I believe that Rusev will win. But if I had to book, okay, if you had to book this where you got to do whatever you wanted for this match and this match only, what would you do?
Which match?
Okay, if you got to book this pay-per-view, all right?
I would have Ambrose win.
Would you actually have him wrestle, though?
I wouldn't.
I would actually have Ambrose get beat up backstage, and then I'd have Rollins hurt his knee still. And then make it so they can't wrestle and then throw another match out there.
Okay.
Then what I would do for the main event is that about right before it ends, all three guys turn on Cena and the Shield never broke up. They were just messing with us the entire time.
No way.
Roman Reigns would be so over then.
But what would be the point that?
Come on. No. Think about it.
No.
Oh, dude, I think that'd be awesome. No. Because then it's 3-on-1 against Cena. Cena wins.
Look, I dislike Cena as much as the next guy, but I mean, it would just make absolutely no sense. They need to be broken up because the three of them apart are actually going to be more moneymakers than the three of them together. So I disagree with you there. What I would do, I would have Jericho win. Because that would be unpredictable, and then have Wyatt get his win back at like SummerSlam or another pay-per-view. I would have Swagger win, because that way it would put Swagger way over, and then have Rusev, like, you know, get his heat back some other time. But having Swagger be like, oh yeah, by the way, I stopped Rusev. I was the guy who did it. That'd be a big deal. And then as far as the Battle Royal goes, you know, I think I'll stick with what I said, and I would probably have Miz win. You know, I think that he's probably the best bet or Del Rio even, you know, Del Rio could win it and he would be a believable champion. And he probably, you know, for who he is, he probably deserves that title. He would probably bring some prestige to it then, you know, just like Barrett was doing.
So you're saying no Bo Dallas, no Heath Slater, no R-Truth, Sin Cara, the Great Khali, Xavier Woods, or Zack Ryder, none of those guys are going to win?
No, they're not.
What do you think? I wonder what the shots are going to be. Like 1 in 20,000 for Zack Ryder. Put $1 for Zack Ryder, then you win. That'd be awesome.
But you know, I think that to get back to the original point, though, I really do feel that this is just a placeholder right now for SummerSlam. Honestly, the biggest attraction for this is really the IC Battle Royal. You know, that's it, because we're finally going to get an IC champion who isn't going to get injured, which is kind of nice. And that's it. That's really the match I'm looking forward to the most.
I'm looking forward to the Wyatts versus Usos because
I'm sick of that, two out of three falls.
But the thing is, should end it. But I believe if you're going to end it, you have to have the Wyatts win, because they keep fighting and fighting and fighting, and they keep losing. So, but it's not either you have the Usos win and then the Wyatts go do a program with someone else, or you continue this feud. But I like the matches. I think the matches are really good. I don't know if it's because of the Usos or if it's because of Harper. I don't know. I am not sure.
I'm over their matches. We've seen them so many times.
But they're different each time.
No, they're very similar each time. I mean, that's the problem.
Enough.
It's like watching, you know, like I have favorite movies, but it'd be like watching the same movie over and over and over again, you know, and I'm kind of overdoing that, to be honest.
All right. So
but that's just
overall. Would you buy the pay-per-view if you're
absolutely not?
Okay.
Absolutely not. Not even for $10.
Okay. Will you watch the pay-per-view live and the pre-show?
Pre-show, no. The pay-per-view, I'll probably watch it after an hour has started, and then I'll fast forward through the segments I don't want to see.
All right. By the way, are you having any issues with your WWE app?
No, not at all.
I've had just a couple hiccups here and there when they're live, not when they're doing the tape stuff. So kudos for them on that, definitely. But that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.